Welcome to the Tripod, where we break down the NRL every game, every week from a punting perspective. I'm Jacob Wynn. He's the Podonis. We had a pretty good round 12, 5-2 on our best bets, and we won the mixed matchup quite convincingly. Plus, we finally got a official Tripod multi on the board, $9 multi on Dabble. So we've just dragged our record up in the last few weeks to 17-18. We have a chance to have a winning record after this round because we do have three best bets to share, even though there's only four games. So this will be a faster pod. We'll have a little bit of origin chat, just reaction to the team list, but we can let you guys know we will have a Tripod origin preview Monday night, same time this one comes out. So 6:15 premiere on YouTube with myself and the Podonis, as well as the five guys and some legends. And we'll have some unique markets that'll be created. And as well as that, we'll have our regular recap show, but that'll be short as well, and that'll be on Sunday. But let's talk about these best bets, and then we'll dive into the games a little bit more in depth. So we're going to go Cowboys on Thursday night. They play at the Gold Coast, and we're taking -2.5. Pick your own line, $1.80 on bet365. We'll discuss all the ins and outs when we get into it. But what really gets us over the line here is we think North Queensland covers their losses just as well as the Titans can. And we don't have a concern about travel. The Cowboys have been in camp on the Gold Coast. No debate, they're the far better team, especially in 2022. We think the Cowboys will rip in after a tough loss where they weren't disgraced down in Penrith. Whereas we don't know what we're going to get and what the response will be out of the Titans, who had to win last week and totally blew it. And we also, as well as not knowing how Gold Coast responds, they've got a couple of players carrying injuries. So we're happy to lay a low number there with the Cowboys. And then moving all the way to the final game of the round Sunday, we've got two best bets involving the Roosters. We're taking a -2.5, $1.86 on the pick your own line or alt line on bet365. That is 1 cent lower price than the regular line, which is 3.5. So 1 point, we'll pay 1 cent in case someone slots a cheeky field, got halftime, something like that. Next best price, $1.85 on Unibet. And we're playing the Roosters to score over 3.5 tries, which is $1.84 on Sportsbet. We're riding the Roosters. We know they're clearly the better team than Canberra before the outs. And we'll make the case that the gap only widens when you take the origin players out. The Roosters are hitting their straps. And I think what works in our favor is everyone knows they've got the toughest run of opponents imaginable. And they're in the midst of that. They've already dealt with Parramatta and Cronulla. But if you look at the Roosters' next three, it's Melbourne Storm, I think it's Parramatta again, and Penrith. They got to win this one where they're favoured, as well as the Raiders have been going. Just think that the Roosters' halves will be the difference there. And when you have Manu that can slot back at fullback, you've got the best backup fullback in the competition as well. So we don't even think they may miss their best player, Teddy, as much as people may expect. Therefore, we still think they'll put some points on. So those are our three plays across the two games, and we'll share our thoughts on all four games. But let's hear the bookies' thoughts and where any money has been in a round that's always pretty interesting with some of the best players not available due to origin selection.
Tripod family, Tristan Merlihan here from Top Sport. We've got one of those rounds which is always a little bit problematic to price when you've got some of the stars missing from certain teams, particularly for the Cowboys and absolutely, certainly from Penrith, where I'm sure the Bulldogs are very happy that they're taking on the Panthers without a stack of their origin stars. So at the moment, that line's 9.5. It actually opened at 10.5 and it's moved in a point. I don't know what it would have been if all the Panthers players were in, maybe around that 24.5 mark. I would suggest, if I was having a guess, depending on what the conditions are going to look like, we see the total points are low, 38.5 too, so that would have some bearing. But I think around about that number would be where I would have pitched it if we would have put it up to begin with. The Cowboys-Titans is another game where the Cowboys have got a few players out. They've got a few players coming back for the game, but have they had the great preparation with their team? You don't know about that either. And obviously for the Titans, no Tino as well. So that's made that one difficult. And Daly Cherry-Evans out for Manly, Tedesco out for the Roosters, but they've only got two players out, where in other years gone by, they probably would have had a lot more. So it's been a bit tricky trying to get these numbers right. There has been some sizable moves. The Seagulls game in particular has gone 3.5 out to 5.5. But at least we know all the composition of the sides. That's one benefit for this week. Next week, on the other hand, is a lot more tricky when you have to try to guess who's backing up. Looking at the origin market, that's obviously on Wednesday, where I know there'll be plenty of chat about that after this weekend's games. But the New South Wales side opened at 8.5 many, many months ago, and there's been a number of injuries, and it's now pretty solid at 3.5. There has been support for the Blues since the teams have been announced, 190 into 180 at the minus 3.5. So looking forward to that game. It should be an absolute cracker. Good luck over the weekend and gamble responsibly.
But let's talk a little bit about Origin. Isn't that fascinating that you could have got plus 8.5 with Queensland? But understandably so, games in Sydney and comprehensively better were the Blues last year, even though the Maroons did win that dead rubber. And the teams have been officially announced now. We speculated a little bit on Sunday night, but I just thought, quick chat about the teams. One thing I will say, a couple of things. They named extended squads, right? But they have now officially said who their 1 to 17 is, who their 18th man is, and then who remains. So people understand, if you're in the extended squad from position 19 to 22, those players return to their teams and play this round if their team is playing, okay? But if the players in the 1 to 17 and even 18th man, which is relevant this round, they do not leave camp and they do not play this round. Some people up in arms about some selections in the extended squads, like how can Suwali get picked this young, or you know, how can a certain player miss it? I think it's important to understand it's a developmental sort of selection, like bringing them in with a as a future pathway to be around the team. Like I thought about the Blues not picking Jake Trbojevic. It doesn't mean he's completely out of Freddie's plans. If Freddie really needed a middle forward that he could rely on, he might pick Jake Trbojevic. But Manly's got an important game this weekend. What does Jake Trbojevic get out of being in an extended squad for an extra week? He's got all the experience that, you know, he needs, really. So that he's a player coming back in. If To'o was injured this week, you know, would the Blues really pick Suwali? I reckon they probably would still pick Adokar, and that's been a big talking point. But Adokar doesn't need to be in camp, as you know, like to get any learnings. He's got a bit of rep experience. So I think don't read a great deal into the extended squads in terms of who was the next cab off the rank, I would say. What were your reactions to the sides, Podonis? I've talked about New South Wales there, so the Blues side.
Happy Wednesday, everyone. Great to be here. Yeah, so my general feeling, without looking too much into the game, is that with Turbo and Latrell Mitchell out, is that in general, the two sides are a lot closer in talent than what they've been the last few seasons. So that's just one takeaway that I feel. But the one thing that stood out to me after the squads were announced, when they said that Jack Wyden was going to play left centre and Crichton was going to be the 18th man. So I understand that
Crichton's going to be 14.
Sorry.
Interchange. Yep.
Interchange. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. I understand that Wyden's a big body and like, and he competes on every play, but I feel that Stads is elite enough that he can play left and then Crichton can be the starting right centre. He can be with his partner To'o. That's my general feel. I think that those two guys are in better form than what Wyden is. I understand he's been there before. And you mentioned Jake Trbojevic, but I still would have picked him in my team. I would have had him as part of the prop rotation. I would have had him in ahead of Campbell Gillard. I just feel that while some players have gone past him the last few years on skill level, I think there's something to be said for that win at all costs Origin style mentality. And I think Jake has that. And if Ponga was running in open space and made a line break, and Jake had a broken leg, I think he'd be the type of bloke that would run after Ponga, but I'm not sure Campbell Gillard would. That's just one of the takeaways that I felt. But
I've seen Campbell Gillard make 50-meter line breaks, in fairness, where I've never seen Jake Trbojevic. One time I remember him running in open space, he dragged back a Souths player, but we won't go there, but that was a memorable finals game. Look, I think Campbell Gillard's deserved his spot. It comes back to, do you pick experience, especially New South Wales have had the better of Queensland recent years. So do you go to the incumbent or do you go to form? And at some point, form becomes undeniable. Parramatta's going a lot better than Manly. That helped Parramatta get, you know, three middle forwards into this team. I'm okay with Whiten at left centre. I think it's a bit of a myth. New South Wales blamed losing the 2020 series on playing players out of position, and Whiten did play, I think, at least a couple of those games at left centre. But they've won other series. They've won series with Whiten in the centres as well. They've won series with Turbo in the centres, you know, and he's not traditionally playing that position in club land. So I think you just want to pick your best players. They couldn't go wrong with either Crichton or Whiten, I believe. There's pros and cons to both. Like Whiten's just got that pure toughness, and you know, we've seen him win a Clive Churchill, we've seen him win a Dally M, and he'd be going even better if he was on a more dominant Raiders side. It's not his fault to a degree the side he's in. Crichton at 14 is curious to me because he's an outside back. You don't sub outside backs, so he's only there as cover. But what do you do if you get an injury in the halves? I suppose then you slot Whiten into the halves. But that was interesting rather than picking Nico Hines, which I felt would have covered more positions. For Queensland, pretty happy with the team. I actually do think from the what Billy Slater's saying, makes sense to start Hunt. The worry for me is the severity of this Harry Grant groin injury, and what do Queensland do if Harry Grant isn't right enough to go? Is Dearden really going to come onto the bench? Because that's curious to me that he's the 18th man. Or I just don't think he gives them a lot of utility value. What about yourself, Fadonis? Thoughts on Queensland side?
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I think Ben Hunt can definitely play 80 minutes if Grant is ruled out. But then I'd be looking at bringing in someone like Brimson in that scenario, someone who can cover a bit more positions. I'm not sure what Dearden offers. But I like that Billy has chosen a team primarily on form and guys playing with a lot of confidence rather than picking guys like that have been there before, like Jai Arrow and Dave Fafita. They've been a bit up and down all year. So I like that he's picked with those young kids. Personally, I probably would have started Carrigan at lock rather than Cotter. I feel that he's more of a ball player and that Cam Murray style of player, whereas Cotter's more of your old school traditional lock, like more of a bulldog type player, which might suit the game next Wednesday because in Sydney, it's a lot more tighter and lower scoring because of the ground conditions. It's not as free-flowing as what it is at Suncorp. And I'm excited to see Cobbo and Nanai play, the two guys with the biggest smiles on their faces in the competition. So it's going to be a great series, and game one should be a cracker start.
Yeah, maybe Queensland, I'd almost be happier if it was someone like a Walsh, if Grant couldn't go. That play that you can inject that spark plug if you need to. But nevertheless, and in terms of starting bench, who knows? It comes down to how many minutes you play more so than like who starts and who doesn't. But what's great for all fans, I think, is that it's shaping up to be a lot more even. And that means everyone feels they've got a chance. And, you know, game one is going to obviously be huge, especially being on the road. If Queensland gets that, they'd have a chance to win the series back home. So we will preview the game and actually how we see it playing out and any bets along with the five guys on Monday night. Just one last thing about Origin. Let's bring in an Origin legend to give us his tips for round 13.
G'day, everyone. How you going? I got the dreaded COVID at the moment, but a bit of a head cold for me at the moment, so can't complain. I'm going okay. We got our multi up last week, you little beauty. How good was that? Finally, we've been around there a few times and got it last week. This week, four games, obviously taking consideration. The Origin players won't be out, so it's a split round. The first game, Titans versus the Cowboys. The Cowboys have got Val Holmes, Reuben Cotter, Jeremiah Nanai out as well. But most importantly for the Titans, they've got Tino, their captain, and their best player by a country mile. He's out. So I'm going to go the Cowboys in that game. Penrith versus the Dogs. Six out for the Penrith team. So, yeah, I'm now playing with fire here a little bit. But I think they've got the best depth in the competition. So I'm going to go Penrith. Manly versus the Warriors. DCE out for Manly, but I think they'll cover the Warriors. And the last game, the Raiders versus the Roosters. Josh Papali'i and Jack White out for the Raiders. Teddy, Daniel Tupou and Lindsay Collins out for the Roosters. So that's a bit of a toss-up, that one. I'm going to go the Roosters. So the Cowboys, Penrith, Manly and the Roosters for me this week. Good luck with your tips and let's get them all up again. See you later.
That was the axe you could hear. Sound like you could also hear a chainsaw in the background. He's soldiering on with COVID. We appreciate that. Tim Moody did the same in winning Moody. He got struck down by the bug last week as well, the virus. And thanks to Dabble for allowing us to get these legends of the game on to share their tips. And the multi that the axe is speaking about, if you did follow him on Dabble, you would have seen it. He picked the card last week. He went 8 from 8 in round 12. 25-1, like us. He picked those slight underdogs in Newcastle, in the Roosters. We also had the Eels. You know, you needed that comeback from Brisbane. A lot of people needed that for their multi. That was no sure thing when they're down 20 second half. But the tip he trumped us with was taking the Dragons, where we lost our 31-1 head-to-head multi. We went the Dogs. And look, I'll maintain the Dogs would have won that game about half the time, but it didn't happen in round 12. That sunk us, but you're all smiles if you followed the Axe. As you heard just then, he likes all four favourites in round 13. And I'm going to admit right now, so do we, to different degrees, as you've heard. But let's discuss a bit further. The Titans host the Cowboys. The line is -4.5 for favouring the away side. So Tino out, Fifita injured, Fotuaker back, Herbert is back. Sexton and Izako are both carrying shoulder injuries, are named, but you've got to monitor that. The Cowboys lose Holmes, Cotter, Nanai, Dearden. Taumalolo is a huge inclusion after only missing one game with that knee injury. Ben Hampton's going to play six, and Hamiso and Taulungi will come back from the Origin camp to cover the loss of Holmes in the centres, with the hammer being able to slot straight in there. But Dearden will not come back as he is 18th man. And as I said before, the Cowboys have been in camp at the Gold Coast after their first loss in quite some time. We cannot seem to win a bet that is on a Cowboys game this week, Podonis, but we are on them this week and we feel pretty confident.
Yes, we are on them. And this week's as good as week as any to get that monkey off our back, so to speak. And if I start with the Titans, coming off last week, they're a difficult team to gauge. Realistically, their top eight hopes are all but over, I think, sitting on 6 points, and they probably need something like 9 or 10 wins from the last 12 games. So with that pressure off, there's an argument to say that they might play a bit more freer and a bit more open. But then also coming off their second loss, where they led by 20 points and got run down, and now without their spiritual leader in Tino and their captain, I do question the psyche of the team, and they might still be dwelling on the result last week. And we saw the same effects when they were up 22 points against Canberra the week after that. What happens, they play a home game against the Tigers as an 8-point favourite and they struggle mightily and they leap over the line and win 8-6 and scored a try in the final minute. So it wouldn't surprise me to see them still dwelling on last week. Whereas with the Cowboys, I know that they're going to be fully switched on and I know what they're going to bring. And it's a testament to how far they have come this year with under Payton that despite all these Origin outs, I do trust them as a side that I know what I'm going to get from them. And I do think they're better across the park. I give them the edge in the forward pack with JT back. And I do favor them in the outside backs as well. And it's a very good sign of the depth they do have when you can bring in a guy like Hammer to replace Vaio Holmes in center for someone who hasn't even been playing the last few weeks. And he was in the extended Origin squad, such how highly they do still see him. And because I don't have any confidence in what Titans team will show up, it's hard to take them with the points. And if you guys do like the Titans, then it's probably something you should look at as a head-to-head bet rather than taking him on the line. Because I do see a scenario where they can come out flat and get beaten by double digits. And that's exactly what I think happens in this game. So the Cows are the play for us. And anything under four is a great, great value edge.
That's a good point. I think I said that about the Titans last week. Like I could kind of see them pulling the upset over Brisbane, but I wouldn't play them with the line. I'd play them to win. And if you had the Titans to win, you would have felt you're sitting on a great bet, you know, $3 head-to-head and up 20 second half. But as soon as Brisbane started coming back and looked like Brisbane was going to get in front, you know, you didn't feel confident at all holding Titans +7.5. And it's kind of a bad beat. You should never lose +7.5 when your team's up 20. But it goes to show their feeble mindset. And I think the leadership that you discussed with Tino, that's a big point there, because where is the leadership on this team? And that's what it's all about. Because on paper, I don't think these two sides are too far apart when you consider who's out. And then you got the Gold Coast at home. So you might start to make a case for taking the Titans with the points here. But it depends how you look at the Titans. Like, as I say, they conceded the final 31 straight points in Brisbane. What's their mindset? We don't know. That's very disappointing. They had to win that one last week. Now, sure, you can argue they have to win this one as well. But at some point, you know, there's other issues going on behind the scenes, I believe, because this side is constantly disappointing. And whereas North Queensland, I think they will be primed for this. As I said, good account of themselves down in Penrith. A hallmark of a good team, which is what they certainly believe they are and they've shown they are, is you don't suffer and fall apart when your rep players go out. You lift, and I think this team will. I think they cover every position that they've lost. And look, is their prep a tiny bit disrupted because a couple of their players were, you know, in the squad? But I think Queensland teams in camp in Gold Coast, as are the Cowboys, then Billy would have let these guys get across to their own club teams when they needed to, because it's more just about the experience in the Origin camp. I think Tabuai Fidow and Murray come in with a big amount of energy as well and can have big games and can be part of the difference for this Cowboys side to cover a low line. One game per night it is, if I didn't say before. That was Thursday night. And we moved to Friday night where the Panthers host the Bulldogs and the Bulldogs are 9.5-point underdogs. So Penrith have 6 players out. To'o, Crichton, Luai, Cleary, Martin, Yo. They cover the back line a little with Jennings and Staines back in. The halves are Kurt Falls and Sean O'Sullivan. And the forward pack's covered by Chris Smith and Eisenhuth injected into the pack. For the Doggies, no major changes. They lost TPJ just before kickoff last week. He's still not back. And it's well publicised that Addo Carr was not selected, so he is available for the Bulldogs. Interesting what Tristan said there, that if all the stars were available, this line might be 24.5. I reckon that's light. I reckon this is best team in the comp at home against worst team in the comp. So it has to be the biggest line we've seen all season. So I think this line could easily be minus 27.5, which if you think about it that way, Padonis, means that those 6 players are worth a combined 18 points, which sounds crazy, but it's probably about right, isn't it?
Yeah, I probably have it just a little bit less. I have this game personally double digits, and I know that in some spots it is, and some spots 8.5. So the line's about fair. And last year, for those people who were following my tips on the Facebook page last year, I was guilty of probably trusting the Panthers a bit too much during the Origin period. And I was on them a few times and got burnt. But I think this time around, 12 months later, they're a lot more experienced and a lot better handled to deal with their Origin losses. And I think they'll really relish the challenge to try and continue this stretch of dominance with their Origin stars not on the park. And when I look at the team, I still see a lethal forward pack with Fish and Leota, and then look at that left side with Kickout, Tago and May. Like it's still one of the best in the comp. And the only edge I'll probably give to the Bulldogs is in the halves and their kicking game. But we said that and relied on that last week, and it sort of bit us in the arse there with Burton's kicking game against the Dragons, where he let us down. But apart from that, I don't really see any advantages for the Bulldogs at all. And they are still trying to find their feet with Mick Potter. He doesn't know his best team yet. And I think that given that they've given up on the year and they're looking to the future, I think that they are they're going to be looking at trying to play different players and combinations throughout the year to try to really build for next year and beyond. But I can see a scenario where the Dogs do lift with Burton returning to Bluebet Stadium, and maybe Addo Carr has a bit of extra edge given that he was dropped from the Blues team somewhat controversially. I could only lean the Panthers though, but getting burned maybe has just kept me off thinking that the players that are out are not worth as much as what they actually are.
Yeah, it's an interesting argument. Like last year, I can't remember if any other games come to mind. The two probably you're talking about was when Penrith were upset by the Tigers. The Tigers weren't like going too well at all. Mm. Yeah, and Penrith was still like a 6.5-point favourite in that game, but lost the game outright by probably 10 points or so. And I remember another one that they were favourite by about a converted try. Wasn't it against Cronulla? Or was that the year before? There was a Cronulla game that was decided by a field goal. But yeah, you might be right. Was that the Parramatta game that came down to that Moses, the Moses shot at goal?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Although I thought that game, because Moses played Origin, so I actually think.
No, sorry, it was the 13-12 where Burton kicked a winning field goal, and they were slightly.
And that was favorite. Against the Sharks.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was against the Sharks. Yeah, that's right. So there's several games that bumped Penrith around during the Origin period. So that makes you think, look, you can't underestimate when key players are all out, especially a bunch of key players, how much that takes away from a side. And I've just spoken about how at full strength, this line's maybe 27.5, but here we are, it's 9.5. On the other hand, Penrith went through that last year. I think they are more prepared. They absolutely knew all these guys were going to get picked for Origin. They've done the preparation, you know, such as Kurt Falls didn't play New South Wales Cup last week because they knew they'd need him in the halves this week. So they held him out. So, and Sean O'Sullivan got valuable experience playing in the first month of the season. And as you say, they've still got game breakers. And obviously Coruscant was in the discussion, but he gets out of New South Wales camp. And Edwards has been one of the form fullbacks in the comp. So they've kind of got match winners. I take your point too that, look, Burton comes back to the team that he helped win a premiership with, and he's off a poor game. You know he'll be in for a big one. You expect that out of Addo Carr. The Dogs pack is their strength if they have one, and that actually can keep them in this game. But I'm the same as you. I could only play Penrith because I think they're really going to relish this opportunity to play without their big stars and prove a point. And they are at home, and I think the home crowd will really get behind kind of the young players, and it just gives other guys a chance to step up. And I think it's very hard to cover six Origin caliber players being out, but the fact that Penrith has zero injuries makes a big difference as well, and some of the experience that still remains on the side that we've mentioned. So I'm with you. I would still only lean to Penrith in this game, but it's just a decent number of points and probably that unknown of how that O'Sullivan falls half combination is going to go. That will keep us off a best bet. On Saturday, the Seagulls play the Warriors, and you're already seeing on the screen this line has moved to 6.5, but I think it's still 5.5 with the home team favourite, depending on where you look. Manly lose DCE. They do get back Saab, Lawton and Tapau with Bullimore and Paseka in the reserves, while Schuster will play 5-8, 4 and will play halfback. And they don't lose Trbojevic, as we know, Jake, that is, who captains. While the Warriors lose Vilea, who got a broken jaw last week, they do return Egan and Sirinen. And we lean to Manly, but we didn't get there with a best bet, Podonis.
Yeah, we didn't quite get there. I do feel that line move is justified. If you look at Manly the last 2 weeks, they've just played some of the best teams in the comp in Power and the Storm in back-to-back road games. Now they return home off an extended 9-day turnaround and what is a big step down in class against the Warriors. And unlike in past years when they've always missed a few plays in Origin, only missing Evans this time around, I feel that they are also better prepared to deal with it. And Schuster does return to 5-8 to help mitigate that loss. And Foran's experienced enough to direct them around the park. Marty Tapau's a big in, I think. And for the same reasons we liked the Knights last week, I think that the Manly pack can get on top of the much smaller Warriors pack, who are still missing Finua, Blake and Curran. And the Warriors typically perform well in the Origin periods, or at least that's the narrative that's spread around the league. But maybe that's playing into the line a bit here, and I think it's a pretty big spot for Manly to stay in touch with the top eight. And I can only look towards them, especially with Jake Trbojevic looking to make a statement, given that he was dropped as well. But you didn't quite get there, Jacob, on the line.
My instinct was the same, that it's an important game for Manly. They're at home and they do have a pretty strong squad available for this one, even without DC and obviously Tom Trbojevic as well. And, you know, moving Schuster to the halves, don't mind that at all. I think him touching the ball more is a good thing. But and I won't back New Zealand. We've both mentioned that we feel Johnson doesn't look himself. But whether that's been the chopping and changing in the halves, this is now another game in a row where at least he gets a play alongside Harris Tavita. I feel like the Warriors are at their strongest when the side runs through Johnson. So I'm just waiting for him to really take over this season. But it's hard if the forward pack's not winning the battle and the forward pack is a bit depleted at the moment, and that could be where they come undone in this game. The one thing that gives me hesitation about going against New Zealand, it feels a bit obvious. It feels like the most obvious pick of the round in some ways to me. And look, this side's going to go home. They're finally going to get back to Mount Smart in July. And they've discussed this, that it's really important to them to try and get some results on the board and form for people to get excited about this team coming home. And that was the plan, that, you know, they had winnable games last couple of weeks, Dragons, Knights, they couldn't get it done. This is another winnable game, which to me, in some ways, means it's a hugely important game for them. A kitchen sink game, especially when you look at New Zealand's next two opponents, Cronulla and Penrith. Like, this is their last chance to win a game just about before they do go back to Auckland. So if there's any life in this New Zealand side, I could see them throwing a lot at Manly, and I could see maybe this being the game where a guy like Reece Walsh wants to remind people that he should be in the Origin discussion, and maybe Johnson does play better with Egan and Harris Tavita, where now they've got their first choice spine. Just enough to worry me out of laying the points with Manly, though I would pick them to win, and I would lay it if I had to. Finally, Sunday, the Raiders host the Roosters, and the line is, again, depending on where you shop, 3.5 to 4.5, with the away side, the Sydney Roosters being the favourites. It's a good game to end the round, and it's also our jersey comp, so comment below who you think will score the last try and the minute as the tiebreaker. White and Papali'i out for the Raiders. Frawley into the halves to partner Fogarty. The Roosters lose Teddy, Tupou and Collins. So Joe Manu will go fullback, Billy Smith to the wing, Wes Nguema into the centres. And Podonis, extra reasons why we really like the Roosters again this week.
Yeah, there you go. It's the tightest, smallest line of the round, but the one that we found the biggest edge in. So the Roosters put in their best performance, as everyone knows, last week against Cronulla. And I think that the fact that they let them into the game in the last 20 minutes, dropping their heads a bit, I think Trent is going to use that as a bit of motivation to get his players fully focused for this week. And on the other side of the fence, Canberra was strong last week and could have easily won against the Eels. So I am wary of their recent resurgence, but I can't see them matching up pretty well in many areas against this Roosters team. And I feel that with Papali'i and Jack Wyden out in Origin, they're bigger outs to Canberra than what Tedesco, Collins and Tupou are to the Roosters. I think they can better cover those guys. And with a game against the Storm next week, the Roosters really need to consolidate last week's win against the Sharks and not let it go to waste, I feel. And not too many other teams have the luxury of moving a guy like Joey Manu into fullback. And they have a big edge in the halves with Walker and Kiri as their first choice guys. And I think the line should be six or higher. And with an extra day of prep and some of those situational factors, the Roosters are the side for me in this one.
The Roosters are getting better. Like, I'm feeling pretty good about that tip at 14-1 a few weeks ago, because what they went and did to Cronulla at Shark Park was no joke. And if anything, if they didn't switch off, they could have won by even more. But the game did turn and Cronulla gave them a little scare. In the end, they still won it by 20 points or so. And they definitely have the belief. But in order to have a real shot at winning the competition or making a grand final, you've got to be top four. In order to be top four, they've got to fight because they're outside of it right now. And they've got to win games like this where they are the favourite. So I actually think this is an all-in spot for the Roosters. I heard Robinson saying he loves this time of year that tests the team when you take a couple of the best players out. And it might sound funny to people to hear that, oh, Teddy's not as big of a loss as Whiten, but it's not us saying that Teddy's not one of the best two or three players in the game. It's just your value over your replacement. You get to unlock a guy like Manu who played to play fullback, which we saw the Roosters do with him last year as well during the Origin period. And Suali's going to come back into this side. I think he can impress as well. So I think the Roosters are the better side, clearly, before you take Origin players out, and it only widens the gap afterwards. Again, you know, Papali'i, the leader of that Raiders pack, whereas the Roosters can cover the loss of Collins. He didn't play all last season with that ACL, and, you know, he's had suspensions this year. Let's not forget, too, they're fortunate they didn't lose Angus Crichton, another guy who was on the borderline of selections. So, and you mentioned the halves there, and we talked about how the Roosters have such a tough run ahead that you don't want to waste opportunity to pick up the points here. So simple as that. Let's lay that low line. And as good as the Raiders' defense has been, and we're not going out of our way to bet against Canberra, but we really are believers in the Roosters, and their attack is getting better each week. So we're happy to play that price. And I got word in as well. It's $1.85 on Dabble, as well as being $1.84 on Sportsbet. That over 3.5 tries market. So you can copy that from at Jacob Wynn if you didn't already get on Sportsbet. 1 cent better. That's also going to feed into the mixed matchup this week, where we're going to simply combine our two favorite sides of Cowboys and Roosters. We're going to need them to win by 10 or more combined over the Titans and the Raiders. If you look at the lines, we've got a 5.5 with Cowboys. We've got a flat 4 currently on Toppy with the Roosters. So you're looking at like kind of a combined line of -9. So we need them to win by 10 or more. $2.25 odds, that is. And you can have a max of up to $200 on that on TopSport if you need a Toppy account. Use the code TRIPOD. Shorter pod this week, 4 games. We got some Origin chat in there. But as you say, proper Origin 1 preview will be Monday night. But you'll see us before then if you tune into our live recap, which will be Sunday night. So thanks for joining me, Podonis. Look out for our multis as we try and repeat the success from last week. Less games, but we'll see what we can put together. But if you're following our bets, best of luck as always. Let us know if you agree or disagree or any other bets you're on. Always bet responsibly. We'll see you Sunday. Lego.